What's going on, guys? I'm Alex. Welcome to another episode of the BSR Show. We are the Black Series Rebels. With me, as always, is my boy, Stephen Ellis.
Summertime.
And coming at us live from the oh-so-minty fresh block party, you know it's my boy, Cisco Kid.
Coming straight from Summer Jam 95, saw 3 stabbings, 15 fights, and got chased out by trash cans on fire. It was awesome.
And our special guest this week, whenever we do playlists, I don't know what his summer music vibe, but I have a feeling it involves sweaty tour vans and a lot of empty amphitheaters on the Vans Warped Tour. It's Nick from Bayside. How's it going, buddy?
So happy to be here. Thank you guys for asking me. Every week when I listen to you guys, I'm just like, oh, I want to text them and like get in on the convo, you know. So
you're always here. You're always in on the convo. You give us nothing but street cred whenever we talk about music. We're gonna embarrass ourselves, and then you're gonna list music. It's basically what Steve and I are just gonna be like, hey man, we really gotta broaden our horizons here. Meanwhile, Cisco's naming music that I'm like, I don't know what that is. Like,
yeah,
I'm excited because
picking is like, it's difficult because it's like, do you want just party jams? You have jams that like you have an attachment to because of summer. And I kind of went like half and half. I feel like, well, there's only 3 songs. So
I want to say like, about that. Let's talk
66% summer jam.
1% I guess 34%. So let's talk about that. Let's go around the horn, starting with you, Nick. What constitutes a summer jam? Like what is it for you?
I mean, honestly, to me, it's more of an attachment than an actual like an attachment to a memory from summer, as opposed to like just a song with the title summer or lyric summer or something like that. Growing up on Long Island, there's not too much culture there, and it really, a lot of it has to do with going to the beach and sitting in someone's backyard and listening to tunes and stuff like that. So a lot of memories do have to, a lot of summer memories have to do with music and vice versa. So to me, like growing up and hanging out with friends really wasn't ever about having parties. It was about chilling. So The music never was like just straight up club bangers in a backyard. It was always like, obviously I like punk rock and alternative and stuff like that. So I think a lot of tunes in that realm kind of just have some sort of summer memory. And then, especially in my mid-30s, there was a lot of hanging out in Brooklyn and way out east on Long Island, where I would see a lot of shows and stuff like that. So a lot of stuff when I was thinking of what songs I wanted to pick tonight, I had so many memories of like hanging out in Montauk and going to a show and all this type of stuff. And I was like, yeah, I don't think that these constitute as summer songs to anyone but me, you know? So I didn't put them on the list.
I think you're hitting on something very specifically that I'll touch on in a little bit. But Cisco, when you think about a summer jam, I'm curious as to what you were vibing on.
So my choices are kind of interesting. I had a rather tough time kind of dialing it down to like which ones I wanted. And I tried to basically have them be reflective of like the sort of different eras of my life and the summers that the summer activities that are indicative of those times. So like a lot of it is sort of like vibey pool party cruising music, I think would be the best way to describe my my picks. I was like, do I want to do like Vegas pool party during the summer? Like I could do that, you know what I mean? I could pick some fucking Calvin Harris or some Tiesto or some shit. And like I had that on my list. I was like, do I want to do this? I mean, because I did this shit like pre-kids and pre-marriage. But I kind of
didn't put "I'm in Miami, Bitch" by Lil Jon on your list.
I didn't.
But didn't do Tao Cruz.
Could have very easily made the list.
I know Steve's got Tao. One of us has Tao Cruz, right? Oh man.
But yeah, so I think that there are songs that for me went really well with like barbecuing by the pool, hanging out all day. It could be something that you can kind of like bounce to. It could be something that you can kind of just mellow out to, that you could listen to day or night during the summer. Cause a lot of the times we were hanging out at my buddy's house, barbecuing all day and then night swimming and hanging out in the jacuzzi all night. So it was like that kind of stuff. So yeah, I think that was what informed my decisions.
Radical. Steve, what about you? What constitutes a summer jam?
This is really hard too, right? It's one of those things where I feel like so much of this is indicative of sort of between the ages of, let's say, 14 and 23 or so, right? Let's just say there's like three phases there. And I kept having a hard time because it was like, I was joking with the guys. I made a bunch of different lists. I don't know which way I'm going to go. It's still a game time decision here, guys. but it's one of those things where it's like, do I want to bust out my favorite songs that like are played in movies or something that are set in the summer and have summer in the title or in the lyric? Like, yeah. Is it that? Is it, you know, Fat Steve in 1995, 6 or 7?
Frosted Tips, Steve?
like bleached hair, lots of Live 105 and MTV music videos and microwave hot dogs in a wet swimsuit on a couch. you know, or is it grooving? And kind of modern, but grooving and just a vibe.
Is it
something that I put on when it's as hot as it is right now and I didn't have kids and I'm chilling with my wife in the pool in the backyard type of situation? Or friends are over for a barbecue and we're just totally. We're grooving. There's lots of moments of silence and just listening to the music and floating. And then there's, you know, a little bit of a party. So I don't know which way I'm going to go. I don't know if I answered your question, but.
No, you answered it.
What about you, bud?
So for me, I had two directions I could have gone. One was this is not the direction I went, so I'll just get it out now. But my greatest summer, it was like the summer of me and my friends, which was our junior year into senior year of high school. We all just got our driver's license, and the songs could have specifically been music we listened to in Cody, the guy that designs our pins, his suicide door Jeep that his dad, like his like 80s Jeep that was left to him. And that was like his first whip was this old 80s suicide door Jeep Wrangler. And we used to drive around in this thing and it had like the fucking tape deck you'd put in and then plug in like a CD player to it. So we would all just bring CDs and it was just drive around all summer. Yeah. At that point, it would have been Dickie shorts or cut off jean shorts, band t-shirts.
Summer at the Warped Tour.
Yeah, dude, it's summer at the Warped Tour. Going to see Nick play is what Alex was basically doing. But like it was, we had a route. It was everybody had their summer jobs. I was the movie theater. Cody worked at Pacific Sunwear. My buddy Brian worked at an ice cream parlor and my buddy Tommy worked at a Togo's.
Like fucking
and
it would be like, Fast Times at Richmond High.
Bro, it was Alex's work, they would all come see me. I'd get them into a movie for free in the morning, and then I'd get off and I'd go eat dinner at Togo's, get dessert at the ice cream shop. And then we would always get in Cody's Jeep and we would cruise all around town. And we listened to like these five records: AFI's Sing the Sorrow, not a summer record, can't put it on. Less Than Jake's Anthem, summer record, but I'm not putting a bunch of ska on this list. I refuse to have that
no
solidified.
Horns? No horns?
No horns. Fucking this is not a good record, and I'm sorry, I doubt the band is listening to this, but Mest is second album, like the second album by Mest was such a pop punk banger for like a 17-year-old kid, and then obviously anything by Blink. But I decided to go the route of vibe. I went with songs that give me a summer vibe, and these albums and these songs just come out in summer. Like I just don't really listen to them the rest of the year, and then when summer comes around, suddenly it's like they're on a pretty healthy rotation. So I'm really excited to get into this. So all right, Steve, why don't you hit us with, you know, any kind of jam, and let's get this list going. Be honest, That might be the best summer jam of all time, but I doubt it's on anybody's
list.
Oh,
man.
Holy
so
shit.
Good.
Cruel Summer.
Now I'm ready to go.
I'm ready. That's a summer jam. So now you've felt it. Listeners at home, you've felt a summer jam in your little wet flippy floppies, and you're not wet swim trunk, but they're just like kind of sun dried, but you still might get a little wrinkly butt if you don't get a towel on soon. Like, I know you feel it. So Nick, with that being said, what is your number three summer jam you would like to add to our playlist?
All right. So this is the only one that I'm going to say is like a get the party started jam.
Okay.
Not necessarily summer jam, but this is I'm about to press play on my like generation one iPod, you know, like everyone here doesn't even know what's about to happen. I'm going to watch everyone's head just start bobbing. And that's Dr. Dre and Snoop Dogg, the next episode.
Oh. Yeah.
Party started.
The motherfucking Eagle Double G.
Snoop Dogg.
Da, 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 da. You know I'm hopping with the D-R-E.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You know who's back up in this motherfucker. So raise the weed up then.
Oh, man. Okay.
Yeah, right?
That, I mean, I kind of need no explanation, but... Yep. Let's go around the horn, starting with you, Nick. Why the next episode?
I mean, that's just... There's nobody who doesn't know that song. From the point that song came out, every age group afterwards knows that song, knows all the lyrics, knows it's a vibe and a jam, and just straight up that era of like Dr. Dre, Snoop Dogg, Eminem, all that stuff, like everyone knows it, you know. It's like the most ubiquitous form of music for like our like couple of like generations. So it's just something that everyone's gonna vibe to, and that's gonna get a party started for sure.
I know Cisco has an opinion on this. The next episode, Cisco, thoughts?
There's really nothing better for a summer party than anything G-Funk. So it could have been any Dre song, to be honest, but that one is exactly what Nick said. It's going to get everybody started, because no matter who you are, where you're from, what age you are, you've heard this song and you've partied to it if you are of legal age, and maybe if you aren't. But it is one of the ultimate party starters. If people are hanging out on the wall, they're going to jump on the floor for sure.
You know what I love about that track is I visualize any type of summer party. You can, it's a beach party. It's a summer outdoor club party. It's an indoor house party. It's like any party vibe. If you bust that out, you're fucking in Can't Hardly Wait. Like, you're in, like, that's not the right era of teen movie. Like, you're more like you're in like American Pie 2. Like, you're like that era of teen movie. But like, it really is the quintessential summer party track. What are your thoughts, Steve?
There's no better entrance music. Like, picture the entrance to that party scene in that movie you're talking about. It's to that fucking opening right then and there. Listen. You guys have said everything. I can't add to it other than that is one of those albums that is part of the soundtrack to my life. I can remember when it dropped. I can remember my first time listening to it, and I can remember how important of a role it played in my senior year of high school. So like, it was just every weekend was someone's
the next
house
episode
with that fucking whole album playing the whole night, and God knows what's going on. So solid pick, Nick.
All right, Cisco. Hit us with your number three summer jam.
So my number three is, I believe, also a party starter, and it is California Soul by Marlena Shaw.
Like a sound you hear that lingers in your ear, but you can't forget from sundown to sun.
Pass the fucking Mai Tai, Cisco. Tell us why that track has been added to your summer playlist.
So when I hear that song, it always reminds me of a very specific moment in my life. And that is this time in like the mid to late 2000s, when in Los Angeles, there was a very specific party that we would go to almost every Sunday, and it was called Do Over. It was in Hollywood. It was at this place called Crane's Tavern. It was free to get in. It was in the afternoon. It started at like, I think, 2 o'clock. And they would play music like this, you know, and it was just like, it was all over the place. They would have DJs, rotating DJs. They would have big DJs that would come. You know, I've seen like DJ Jazzy Jeff there. I've seen just a bunch of different people there. And that song, for some reason, always is just reminds me of that time. It was incredible. It was it ended up becoming a very like cool guy thing to do, that going to this party. But in the mid 2000s, it was pretty underground kind of still, where it just was like, you know, you could go and smoke weed there. We would drink shit tons of sangria because they had the best sangria. And then they would have a guy in the front barbecuing. So you'd get like barbecue burgers or hot dogs or whatever. And yeah, man, it just like it, now that song feels like summer to me. So I had to put it on the list.
I mean, it's funny because you know what I heard? What, like, that to me, different than next episode. I see summer movies when I hear that. I feel like Tarantino's Los Angeles. Like, I feel that, like, summer heat all over my body. You guys, what do you vibe on when you hear that song, Steve, Nick?
I picture sweaty, convertible, hot,
yes, driving.
Probably back, yes, when I smoked cigarettes and just
a fucking pink, the pink, like a pink, the pink fucking of Cadillac, yeah, or
well,
shit.
No, I was gonna say the when because of all the pollution and everything, the pink sunsets.
Oh yeah,
you know. Ooh, the classic pink sunsets. Candy. It's hot. The wind. It's right there on the 101 where the Capitol building's on your left. You're heading north.
Yes.
Fucking Cafe 101 and the Hollywood Hotel right there.
Cruising by the dome.
And you're cruising, and you just get that quick little glimpse into Hollywood, and you're off into the valley, and then you're cruising down Ventura, and you passing Mel's and just all of it.
I'm thinking definitely a pool, lounging by a pool. Ooh. But very specifically in Palm Springs. Obviously not, okay, a pool in Vegas, but Palm Springs, maybe at like, yep, I mean, Ace is an easy like hotel to say that they probably would be playing that, you know, but there's probably a couple other hotels at this point that would be,
we like the Saguaro Hotel.
Yeah. Something like that. But a nice, you know, like fruity cocktail, just chilling.
It's a little
thinking life is good.
What you're talking about is a little like Vegas light.
Yes.
Yeah. Vegas for like resort.
Vegas minus the cigarettes.
Yeah, yes. and the sexually transmitted diseases in the pool.
Yeah. It really is like, it's not a resort jam, but it's that like LA hotel poolside jam. Mm. Yeah, you know, yeah, what I mean? Like, hey, we're going over to the Standard and we're going to chill.
At the Standard for sure.
Yes. Like, this is already shaping up as good as the Halloween playlist. I'm so excited. All right, Steve, hit us with your number three summer jam.
Number three, this is where I went literal, and this one has summer in the title and in the lyric, and that is the Lovin' Spoonful, Summer in the City.
Summer in the city, back of my neck getting dirt and gritty. Bend down, isn't it a pity? Doesn't seem to be a shadow in the city. All around, people looking half dead, walking on the sidewalk harder than a match here. But at night, it's a different world. Go out and find a
girl. Oh no, I have to say it before you get into why you picked that song. What I love about music is it always paints visuals for me, and all I saw was a version of myself in high school listening to that with headphones, thinking about losing his virginity, but it's definitely not going to happen.
In Alex's American Pie.
Yeah. That is, I was just song, like, tonight's the night. It's not going to happen. Steve, why Summer in the City by Lovin' Spoonful, besides the obvious name and the title?
Honestly, since this month is summer blockbusters on our Midnight Movie Club episodes, and I'm hoping that we're going to do this one later on down the line, this song plays to the opening of one of my all-time favorite movies that takes place in the summer, and that is Die Hard 3 with a Vengeance. And this is the opening music that plays when the title crashes together, and then we get the first explosion in New York. And I just always thought it was a banger, and a banger opening of a movie.
It's a great movie track. It's like, it's one of those movies that it's a song that paints the world for you super quickly. Like you already have a feeling, you know, all right, it's a city, it's summer, it's fucking hot, and people are probably trying to fuck. It's like all you need to know.
I definitely picture right away just like 1975 New York City, you know, yes. Like you could see the humidity. Just if it's on film, it's grainy, boxy taxis, you know, like,
yeah. You know, definitely. What's so cool? Cause like both of those songs, Cisco, your last track, and then Summer in the City by Love and Spoonful, like they both elicit summer, but it's so funny that our brains naturally go to different sides of the country.
Yeah. Like, I was going to say this, that song makes me think about watching a movie on a rooftop.
Oh, interesting.
You steamy. Know, like, I don't know why.
Humid,
but like,
outdoor,
yeah, like
smells like a parking garage.
On the side of a building.
I think, I mean, that's a great summer track. And what's kind of cool is like, it's a very literal choice, but also slaps, you know, mm-hmm. It's got it in the title, but it really just kind of radiates that summer goodness. Well, my number three, I already fucking panicked because you guys picked way cooler. You guys picked better stuff. So I'm calling an audible. I called an audible and just text Steve and I'm changing my number three. I'll say real quickly, my number three was Swim by Surfer Blood, but the singer's kind of problematic. And well, nobody's going to know that fucking track. So fuck it. I'm going back to 1999 on my BMX bike. Steve, hit me with my number three summer jam. Opening riff is suburban California summer. Like, that's Dumpweed off Blink-182's Enema of the State. Now, for anybody out there listening, it's like, oh, fucking Alex with the Blink. It's like, you gotta understand, I'm 13 years old when this record comes out, and it's a bunch of kooky dudes running around naked, clowning on the Backstreet Boys. It's punk for kids that are too afraid to get into real punk quite yet. It was like the perfect entry. And it was my first real, like, all of the music I was into before that was stuff that my parents introduced me or a friend showed me. That was the first time I picked an album and I was like, I like the music video for this. And I'm going to buy this album. And that sort of began my journey into discovering my own taste of music. So, and I just remember it again, summer in Arizona, watching that, just like Otter Pop in hand, just like sweating. And then What's My Age Again comes on. I go, I have to go to a Warehouse Music and buy this album. And then that first, it's the first track on the album. And I just think Tom's guitar fucking rips. It's the introduction of Travis to the band where you're like, what's this happening on this record? And it's just, that's how I feel about Dumpweed. It's my favorite Blink song and it's a great summer jam.
I know exactly where I was the first time I heard Enema of the State.
Oh, all right.
I was in college. It was in the game room of my university. I was probably either playing Marvel versus Capcom or pool, and the people that worked in the game room were super cool. They would just always kind of play random music, whatever they were into. And I remember being like, you know, punk is not like my immediate go-to form of music, but I remember being like, whoa, what is this? This is pretty dope. And then they just blew the fuck up. It was all over MTV. It was all over everything. And I was like, you know, Blink in 1999 was like a real phenomenon and, you know, definitely made an impact on me. Someone who like that wouldn't necessarily be what people think, I think, when they think of me. But I love that album a lot. I actually just listened to it maybe like 2 months ago. I was driving by myself one day and I was like, something in my head made me think about Blink. And I was like, I'm putting this fucking album on, and I put it on and I listened to it from beginning to end. And I was like, yeah, it's still as good as I always remembered it was.
it's just like no other album. What about you, Nick? I know you're a fan of Blink. What are your thoughts on Dumpweed, specifically Enema of the State.
Yeah, I mean, it's really weird. The way I'm trying to, like, when I haven't heard that song in years, I haven't even heard that riff in years, but it just seems like I could, like, close my eyes and, like, picture colors. Like, it just seems so, like, youthful and energetic. And I'm sure the youthfulness that I'm feeling is nostalgia, but I mean, it's definitely like what we're talking about. Like, it's not necessarily a song about summer, but that. I didn't skateboard when I was a kid, but I just pictured myself like the sun's going down. I got braces. I never had braces, but I got braces on. I'm skateboarding to the record store or something like that. You know, like there's just such a specific vibe with it.
Fully tatted already. Yes. 14 years old. Sleeved up.
Sleeved up, horny, and learning to skateboard. Nick Gambarian, listening to Enema of the State for the first time. Steve, I know you have opinions on this band.
We can do a whole Blink. We can eventually do a whole Blink episode at some point. No, this is, you have to understand, this is 99. I'm a sophomore. I'm a junior in high school. It's seven people crammed in a white four-door mid-90s white Jetta.
Oh yeah, that's a Jetta, you know, with a fucking Roxy sticker on the back.
No, that's a that's a whole other story. Volcom. We can talk about
Volcom.
But just like racing up Highway Volcom. 17 to go to Santa Cruz, and just that whole album, and there's a whole that's a whole era of summer there that I'm sure we'll get to at some point another time. But just like the Dre album, another one that is sort of a soundtrack to my life.
Yeah, that record holds a real special place in my heart. And as soon as we started talking, I'm like, it feels fucking, I'm like, what is wrong with me? I am trying to be so much cooler than I am. I gotta fucking just be honest, man. Be your most honest self, Alex. All right.
How funny, Nicole, is it that, like, but I feel like that Dre song and that Blink song are like same era. Like, you probably, most people probably totally had both of those CDs, and they're totally different genres.
I was thinking that
on MTV though, you know, like there were TRL or whatever it was at the time. It's like, you just went, that was a really cool point in music where like the most popular stuff had some punk, but then had some hip hop. And then everything else was probably like Backstreet Boys and Britney Spears, but there was like good representation of genres there.
Well, and Travis did this cool thing when he was added to the band where he added this kind of like LA kind of hip hop flair to these two nerds from fucking San Diego.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, if you don't have Travis in there, like fully tatted up, like shaved head,
everyone
like
going,
piercings all
what,
over the
everyone
face.
Everyone going, who and what is that at the time?
Yeah,
exactly. They're like, why? This guy is covered in tattoos. And then kind of mixed with the nerdy innocence that is Tom and Mark at the time. And like, just kind of like in the same way that Dre kind of represented this like new hip hop generation, kind of really connecting to this type of party hip hop and really connecting to that California thing.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like Blink did that for just a different subsect of TRL viewers. And in a weird way, Travis eventually kind of smashes those things together, and that's what you get, this modern Travis Barker phenomenon that's like him with fucking Machine Gun Kelly and him playing with Transplants and drumming with Gunna and Trippie Redd and all these people. It makes sense that that's what it kind of grew into. All right, Nick, man, hit us with your number two summer jam.
All right, this one, I think you could still play at a barbecue. Play it in your backyard party. But the reason I picked it was a specific summer memory. I feel like it was my first summer single in like 7 years. So I'm talking like early 30s, like 32, 33. And me and a bunch of my buddies went to see Rancid at Terminal 5, which is on the Upper West, maybe not Upper West Side. It's on like 56th on the West Side. And it's one of the few times, and I guess it's been a while now, but it's a show I'll never forget because of, we knew we were going to see Rancid, but we saw fucking Rancid that night. Like, we had a fucking moment with Rancid, and it was just me, three other buddies, and like, really, like, I'm getting chills right now just thinking about how much fun it was, because they like blew our mind. We've seen them before. I don't know that maybe we hadn't like seen them all together, but it was like beginning of the summer. They played every song you wanted to hear. every single person at the show sang every word. There were no fights. Like, everyone was in such a good mood. Like, Tim, I was like looking at Tim like, that's a rock star, dude. Like, I tried to be on the side of the stage to watch Matt play bass because he's the most ripping bass player ever. And then Tim just being cool took all my attention. I'm like, I'm just gonna look at this guy. He's, look how cool he is. So the song I chose is Fall Back Down. Specifically, I think it's a, you know, it's an upbeat track, catchy. It's on, like, I don't want to say a lesser known record, but it's probably like maybe not in their top three as far as what people,
it was their big mainstream, like, swing, like, mm-hmm.
So
early, like mid 2000s, right?
Yeah, yeah. I think it's a solid record. It's got some great songs. Fall Back Down is definitely a great jam. And at that time, like I said, I was coming out of like a 7-year relationship. So the whole song was like,
Tim's there, about your boys. Up, man.
Yeah, exactly.
Hit us with it, Steve.
Crossfield in my sight, I think I'll be a situation, gonna make it right. In the shadow of the darkness, I stand in the light. See, it's our star, to keep it true.
Nick, you just touched my heart.
Yeah.
Like, bringing Rancid to the party. Obviously, I grew up, like Steve, in Northern California. That's like, you could put them on the Mount Rushmore.
Totally.
Of Northern California music, especially mm-hmm. Tim Armstrong specifically, yeah. Because not only was he in Rancid, he was in Operation Ivy,
mm-hmm.
and that kind of defined my generation's love of this kind of music was that era. And I remember walking around Telegraph Avenue in the summer, in pulling up in that Jeep, that Suicide Door Jeep, and parking at the Amoeba and going into Berkeley and combing through like imports of Rancid and Green Day and trying to find anything you hadn't heard before. But even if you had heard it, you were just happy to touch it. Like, I'm at this place. And for me, like, it's funny that you went there. So I'm like, okay, what route's he going to go? Is he going to go like an Out Come the Wolves era? Mm-hmm. Is he going to go really hardcore Rancid? But I think you're right. That might be the quintessential Rancid summer jam.
Yeah, it's a sing-along. It's got the organ in there, so I feel like it makes it like a little bit more summery. And yeah, I mean, it's kind of about your friends, you know?
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, you went through some shit, but your friends got you. And it's great.
Totally.
Just what a record. Transplants. So here's the sick thing about that show too, is Transplants opened it. So Tim was just on stage the whole night. I'm like, dude, kill it, man.
Now, was it of this era? Was it this era of Rancid, like for this album, or was it just a random Rancid?
No, so it was probably like 7 or 8 years ago. So I'm going to say like, what record? Let the Dominoes Fall, maybe,
mm-hmm.
was out.
I kind of fell off of Rancid after this album.
Mm-hmm.
And now I still listen to Rancid all the time, but it's only like that period. I really should like enter the newer era of Rancid.
It's one of those weird things where it's like, you know, they know how to write a great song, but they just don't do it. I don't know how to, like, I'm like, Tim, I know you write for other people. Like, I know what a good Rancid song is. I know you know all about songwriting and melody and all this stuff, but it just, they just don't crush it anymore. And it's like, that's fine, but whatever, man. It seems like a choice that they don't write jams.
So hit us with your number two summer jam.
All right. My number two is Crystal Blue Persuasion by Tommy James and the Shondells.
Look over yonder.
All right, Cisco, I don't think this needs any explaining, but tell us why.
This song, along with pretty much anything like this, just takes me back to being like 9, 10 years old and being at my Nino's house with my parents and not knowing that I was going to fall in love with this kind of music as I got older, but like hanging out, just them grilling and us playing baseball, football, water balloons, whatever. And then as I got older, just like falling in love with I don't know if you guys had this where you guys grew up, but out here we had this Sunday night radio show called Art LeBeau's Killer Oldies. And it was just like a lot of this kind of stuff. People would call in and dedicate music, a lot of oldies, soul stuff. And man, I just like love all of the music that just sounds like that. But this one I think is the one that like kind of is the one of the best examples of that, in my opinion.
It's a mood, man.
It's just that's chill, like laid back.
My vibe's about to get there. And you know what I mean? Like, that's like, I feel like when I heard that, it was like, that's like the end of the night. You're with the person you love. You've had a great night. You've had a great day at the beach. You know, you went back to the backyard, family's there grilling, you know, we got an icy cocktail. Like, it's just like, or honestly, like, I'm not a beer drinker, but it could even be like the cold beer, the LA stars are in the air. You know, it was windy enough to blow the smog out. And you're just like, it's just a vibe, man. You know, with how locked up we've been the last 16 months, hearing that type of music makes me appreciate that we're on the other side and maybe we're going to be able to get some more emotional experiences like that into our life. Because like, man, the ceiling over the head ain't working for me anymore, man. We need to get some outside time with the bros. What about you, Nick? What'd you think of that track?
The first thing that, you know, once you even said the title, I was just like, I had never heard that song until it was in Breaking Bad. It's a killer song, but that was my introduction to it. So it's almost like you have a summer like memory of it. Mine is just the Breaking Bad finale.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Nothing wrong with that. And that that's like a chill summer show.
Yeah.
That's a summer
but really
show.
It's just chill. It almost sounds like they're like laying down while they're like recording it in the studio, you know?
Right.
Totally.
All right, here we go.
All right, Steve-O, hit me with your number two summer jam.
So you shall not be embarrassed for Dumpweed, because I take your Dumpweed.
Oh, what do you got?
And I triple it to the most embarrassing.
All right.
I just want you to picture Frost, like Bleach Blonde Steve hanging by the pool.
What are you wearing? Tell me exactly what you're wearing.
You know what? I've probably just taken off a Hawaiian shirt and probably have like Gap cargo shorts on.
Okay. Hawaiian or bowling? Very different aesthetic.
Hawaiian. There's no bowling for me.
Okay.
I was the kid with bleach hair, Arnett catfish sunglasses.
This goes losing it for the podcast.
I literally was fucking Hawaiian shirt, Arnett catfish sunglasses.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Extra large t-shirt. Extra large the brand t-shirt.
No. They didn't sell that at PacSun. I basically was like a PacSun mannequin, but on a fat guy. And I got home from the mall from working from like Wilson's Leather, working at the theme park, working at Great America.
Wait, you worked at a Wilson's Leather?
Oh, yeah, in the mall.
Oh,
baby.
No, sir.
Yeah.
We're saving that conversation for later.
That would be another one. Anyways, that, my friends, I've just jumped into the pool and I've flipped on the radio.
It's a vibe.
Sorry, Nick from Bayside.
It's one of those songs. Like, just think about these songs that, like, we all know. You know, like, I didn't own a Sugar Ray record, but I know that song. I know all the singles, you know? It's like, it was just the weird part of the time before the internet where, like, everything got spread out, where it's like, if you like music, you like all of this stuff.
Yeah.
Somewhere Ash Crossan just got her wings.
Yeah, there's no shame in liking Sugar Ray. Trust me.
Shame.
That's basically just Smash Mouth with a hip hop beat. it's a vibe.
I will say, if you go back and you guys listen to the other 11 songs or 10 songs on that album, it sounds nothing like that.
Yeah,
it's like a weird Southern California thrash record.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know that about them. Like, I remember them sound. Yeah, exactly. Like weird thrash, and I'm like, oh, they're just trying something else out, I guess.
What about you, Cisco? You have any? I mean, I feel like that might have been a Los Angeles, a real joint at the time.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. Like, I get like nostalgia when I hear it, and it again. I was in college for that, but that was a time when I was really like experimenting, but like just opening my eyes to lots of different types of music. And I think part of that was the popularity of TRL and opening my eyes to like some different things that I wouldn't normally listen to, but. Everybody liked that at the time. It wasn't weird, and it's still like it's kind of like a meme, I guess, but at the same time, like, it's hard to just be like, that's a dumb. It's not like it's not like Limp Bizkit, where you're just like, I'm kind of embarrassed that I like that at the time. You know what I mean? Like, I kind of am embarrassed that I used to like want to listen to Faith all the time.
We all had a red Yankees hat. Don't feel ashamed.
Yeah. But this Sugar Ray record is like for sure not that, where I'm like, yeah, if that comes on at like a karaoke night, I'm like, good choice, buddy.
I don't lump. It's fun to be silly about music like that because it is such an era and it's such a vibe. But like, nah, man, I fucking love that song when it came out. Like, that came out like right around the exact same time as the Dumpweed song that I played. And I remember hearing it on TRL and being like, I love this. It's like them fucking, yeah, it's Band One Week. Like, that, like, there's like five tracks from that time that are just like, that were like number one on VH1's top 20 for like 19 straight weeks. Like, yeah. They're just good songs. I think it's a great choice, Steve. And I applaud you for taking off your Hawaiian shirt and jumping into the pool to some Sugar Ray.
That makes me want to be at the MTV Summer House and like hanging out with all the sexy people and doing the whole nine.
That was a time before TikTok.
Well, now for something completely different. So now we're kind of going back into kind of songs and albums that come. And while Blink was that for me, this is a track that is of a record that came out right when I met my wife. And I met my wife in the summer, and I was listening to this record a lot. And I was riding track bikes in Los Angeles. It was like 2010. I was out in the summer heat, and this song was always in my headphones. And that's Slater by Tyler, the Creator.
Me and Slater just hit a curb. Bunny hop zoning out, listening to nerds. Made a couple thousand turds, spitting written verbs. Shit. Now I kick it in the burbs. Me, I'm from the slums. Niggas who push a ton, ton of drums with foul flow, dirty mouth like kissing bums. Mama done made her one.
When I hear that song, I just see like Fairfax kids and like that, like. There's like a kind of kid, and I, you know, I wasn't lucky enough to be of the age to be a part of that. But there was like this thing that happened where like skateboarding and pop punk and hip hop and like arty kids and like kind of stoner kids got smashed, and hype beasts and sneakerheads, and they just became these, I call them Fairfax rats. They're like, they're like a special kind of kid in LA, and they're still like, I feel like their style is still kind of exactly the same. It's like a real mood and a vibe. And I always just was like, man, if this had come out like 5 years earlier, I would have fucking been one of these kids. They just really spoke to me, and they've inspired a lot of my art since then. Like, just seeing how those kids behave, how they interact, the styles, the music. I really love Tyler, the Creator. I think he's a fucking genius. And I know he was on my Halloween playlist, but I had to bring him to the Summer Jam too. And I went with Slater by Tyler, the Creator.
Yeah, man, something, I know.
There's something very like naturally, authentically cool about like what you're describing those Fairfax rats as, you know?
Yeah.
Like, they did their own thing, and from afar, you're like, yeah, that's awesome. That's cool.
Yeah. Tyler is like, he's like the boss level, the boss of the video game, right? Like, he's like the when you get to,
yeah, he's like level 50. Kids. He's like max level. Like, when you rank up enough as cool, like, you become Tyler, the Creator.
Exactly. And, you know, he's always kind of done his own thing, which was always so left of whatever was like the popular thing. But, you know, respect to him and his hustle and also his evolution as a creative, right? Like, you've seen all the different layers to the things that he does, like not just the music, but the TV shows, the directing of the videos, and like what his music has become now is so different, you know? And I think that's really awesome, to be honest with you. You know, like, you know, this era of Tyler isn't like necessarily my favorite, but I was always like, I guess in a weird way, like morbidly curious of like the mm-hmm. things that they were doing, because I'm like, I think I'm just too old for like that era when it was happening.
I'm right on the edge, dude. Like right on the edge. Like if I had been like 2 years later, I'd been like, what is this? But there was something, I think I was 23 when I first heard Tyler, like just right there to be like, oh, this is fucking cool.
I would see the Wolfgang guys performing, right? Like I would watch videos of them. I'd see them on like Jimmy Fallon or whatever. And I'd be like, these guys are fucking nuts. Like, what is this? And just like so enthralled with it. Like this is pure chaos. And like I was like, I don't like the music, but I love what they're doing. Like I can't stop watching them. And I was always like that throughout his career. I was just like, I would listen to the music and I'd watch them and I'd be like, there would be this divide where I'd be like, the music isn't clicking for me, but I like the visuals. I like what he's doing. I like what he's saying. I like what he's about. And it wasn't until I think his most recent album, not the one that's like just going to be coming out, but the
Igor.
Yeah. And I was like, oh, this is more my vibe. Like,
it's funny because I'm like, I bet it's Igor is what he's going to say. Cause it kind of has that like old soul kind of like,
70s. It reminds me of Pharrell in a lot of ways.
Totally. And it's funny because he's very much a product of the Pharrell era of hip hop. I feel like Pharrell is kind of the grandfather of all those kids. And they all went, oh, we want to be like Pharrell.
You know, what's funny is I think that I could be wrong, but I think he was kind of starting up during that, like Pharrell is corny phase, right? Like where it was like I don't know if you remember, but there was this whole thing where like Pharrell can't skate. You know, when he had changed his name to Skateboard P, and people were like, there was a backlash for it. And I could be wrong, but I think that Tyler was kind of like part of that era of things happening. And then he eventually evolved into him in a weird way, but it's cool.
That's awesome. Yeah. I feel like that too is kind of the modern, and Nick, you can correct me if you don't agree, but like it has a lot of that Warped Tour energy that for me, I just started to feel kind of dissipated, like Warped Tour got very angry and got very like, and that felt fun and party to me. Mm-hmm. And I just kind of like fell out of the pop drive through of it all and kind of fell into the skater hip hop of it all.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Well, where if I could digress for a second, like I think Warped Tour became way too reactionary as to like what was big at the time instead of trying to, which I guess it always was, but it was under the guise of like expanding punk rock and having punk rock bands on it. And then it turned into screamo, emo, whatever was popular. And they stopped. I mean, the scene started to die because big punk bands weren't a thing, you know, like they just weren't a thing because Warped Tour isn't paying attention to them or giving them just due, you know, like they just weren't breaking newer punk bands. So the scene kind of went away, you know, and it just became this huge screamo thing, which was a fad. And punk rock isn't necessarily a fad. It had its moment where it was huge, but it wasn't a fad. It hasn't gone away. Screamo might be coming back a little bit, but you know what I'm saying? Like it's kind of more of like a fad. 10 years from now,
if pop punk's having a revival in what, 10 years, screamo is going to be the raddest fucking thing in town.
Yeah, might be.
All right. We've got a pretty fucking stellar playlist coming together, but now I know the heavy hitters are coming out now. All right, Nick, number one summer jam. What do you got?
Yeah. Well, repeat from the Halloween playlist, repeat artist. I got the Ramones with Rockaway Beach, which I know you guys, I think, talked about a little bit when you were covering the Royal Tenenbaums on that movie club episode. But man, so many memories, like talk about like having emotion and energy just totally encapsulated in a song. You know, Rockaway Beach, like being from New York, you could just, I close my eyes and I picture being on Rockaway Beach, and that song existing as a kid blew my mind because I grew up a little bit more like Middle Island, Long Island, and my cousins lived in Queens. So we would go out there, and the first night that I ever stayed up like past midnight my cousins, who are only, they're a couple years old, older than me, but they were old enough to drive. My cousins took me to Rockaway Beach, and I remember every single damn thing that happened that night because it was all super bizarre. Like, I remember some dude with like khakis pulled up to his chest, like a white tank top on with suspenders, no shoes, carrying a shovel. I'm like, okay, that's one thing. I remember what at the time I didn't know, but I guess everyone else knew, I was too young to know, that a prostitute came up to me and was like, can I do you a favor? You know, that's like, apparently the exact words was, can I do you a favor? And
what'd you say?
Like, I had no idea what was going on. I
didn't have enough allowance in your pocket.
And then another totally bizarre thing, like actually on the beach, was there was this giant beached sea turtle, like the size of what I would imagine an actual Ninja Turtle, like a huge beached, probably dead, I don't really know. It looked sick, like something was wrong with it. Like Ninja Turtle sized sea turtle. So many weird things that I remember from like my first night staying up after midnight. It was all on Rockaway Beach. Turns out there's this awesome Ramones song called Rockaway Beach. Yeah. So I have all these memories with it. So that's my choice.
Hit us with it, Steve.
1, 2, 3, 4.
Speaks for itself. Yeah. Speaks for itself. I see it. It's got that kind of cool pseudo 50s and 60s thing that Ramones were kind of doing. And I think that a lot of modern bands are still trying to kind of capture. And when you're able to do that, when you're able to kind of capture the sounds of summer and the sounds of fun and interject it into modern sounding power pop punk or whatever you want to call it, that's when the chemistry is right.
Funny, like when you think about the Ramones and people try to cover this song or Blitzkrieg Bop or whatever, it's like, yeah, you're playing that song, but you're missing the point. Like, no one could play these songs but the Ramones. The Ramones are the only band that can make these songs sound cool. If you hear Green Day play Rockaway Beach or anyone else play Blitzkrieg Bop, it's just like, yeah, this ain't it. It's not good.
Well, I just want to say, out of all the songs that we have played tonight, and I went through and I listened to this whole playlist as I was putting it together, out of all of them, these guys, from the moment the first note hits, they bring it. The lyrics are in. We're into the song. We know what we're doing. And we're all having a good time. And literally, out of all the songs we've played tonight, this is the only one that, like, we listen to a lot of the words.
They waste no time. Well, we've got a minute and a half. Let's get this baby out there.
Well, think about the actual song for Royal Tenenbaums was Jackie is a Punk. That one's just even quicker. That one's first word is like the first sentence, though the first second of the song.
I think I always say this when you're on and you bring the Ramones. I always go, I love the Ramones, but I never got into them. But every time I hear them, I'm like, I need to fucking listen to the Ramones. Like, what am I doing? Like, why don't I listen to this band?
It's special. I mean, you talk about that. There's no better way to put it than like bands cover those songs and don't nail it because they truly were like a moment in time. Those couple of dudes, you know, they had a lot of member changes, but Joey Ramone, Johnny Ramone, Dee Dee, whatever they were doing was just special.
All right, I got one Ramone story before we move into Cisco's number one. So my sister-in-law was living with us for like about 16 months, and love her to death, great, but I got a rip on her because it's just fun. And she's a big streetwear fashion girl, and she wears like old band t-shirts. And she wears the Ramones crest. Like, she wears that shirt all the time. And one day I was in a particularly grumpy mood. I woke up and I was like, big Ramones fan? She was like, love them. Kind of being snarky back to me. And I was like, name one member. And she was like, can't. And I was like, yeah, they're all on the shirt.
Yeah.
I went to the gym because it has Johnny, the names on it. And she laughed so fucking hard. Yeah, I was like, that's great. Yeah, they're all on the shirt. And I closed it and went to the gym. And to this day, every time she wears that shirt, she goes, Johnny. Yeah. She like points to the names and shows Dude, them to me.
Put that next time you're writing. That's a joke in a movie or something. That one's
incredible. Up here. It's banked. All right, Cisco. Number one summer jam. What are you bringing to the playlist?
This is going to be the one song that dates me and places me in a certain region and time. But it was the one song that when we started talking about this, it was the one song that never left my brain. It was like, it's going to be on the list. It's going to be number one, period. And that is On a Sunday Afternoon by Elida Shader Brown.
On a Sunday afternoon, me and the crew just jamming the oldie tune, sipping on a cold bottle of brewski.
All right, what is it about that track? Why is it number one?
This is high school for me. So, yeah. You know, I mean, I probably heard this when I was 14 or 15. And we were probably at a park, at like a barbecue, at a park doing something like that. And it reminds me of Los Angeles, specifically like where I grew up in the San Gabriel Valley, and hanging out with dudes who dress like cholos or were cholos and listening to this kind of shit. You know, Mexican rappers wasn't a thing really. These were one of the first few dudes who did it. And yeah, man, that song just takes me back to being that age, being a teenager. And I love it. I love it to this day. I will throw that on all the time just because it really gets me in a certain mind state when I hear it.
What's your preferred state of listening to it? While driving or like stationary in the backyard? Oh, vibing?
Driving, washing dishes, taking a shower, playing with the kids in the backyard, whatever, dude. I'll listen to it doing anything.
Rad. Great choice.
Yeah, man.
I love the variety. It just goes to show how much variety there is in this genre.
Oh, yeah.
What's going on up there, Steve?
I was just
going
to say, Cisco, when you sent the list and I put it on and I went, oh, man, this transports me. Like, this transports me to summer. Like, solid choice.
I'd actually never heard that song, so I'm going to have to go give it a full. Maybe I'm sure I have heard it, but I just haven't, like, clocked it. So I'm now after this I will check out the Spotify link we will definitely make for this. So everyone
definitely a track, Windows Down, which I feel like is like an East Coast thing from some California people that I've talked to over here. They're like, yeah, it's usually too hot to have like your windows down and pumping music. But you guys seem like you do that. So
if you were lucky enough to have a car when you were 15 or 16 with air conditioning. Yeah.
Well, I will tell you, my first car that I got was right when I started college, and it did not have air conditioning in it.
No.
So I was driving with the windows down all the time.
And I didn't have power windows either.
Yeah.
Yeah, same. I had to reach across. I had a little Honda Civic. I had to reach across, roll it down manually,
and
get back.
My favorite thing to do when I was a kid was in the summer, roll all the windows down when you had cold summer air and then turn the heater on in the car.
You're fucking
It was weird. I had a whole fucking vibe going, dude. That was my vibe, dude. You fucking come in my car, I'll tell you what the fucking climate is. All right, Steve, hit us with your number one summer jam.
You know what, man? This was, there's one summer that I remember, and my best friend that grew up around the corner from me we lived in San Jose. Him and his dad and mom moved to Yountville, which is just outside like Napa. It's like there's nothing to do there. And we used to trade off summers. Like half the summer I'd go up there and he'd come down back to San Jose at my house. And I remember this one summer so vividly because we would watch MTV and because it was so bloody hot up there to go out at a certain point. And I just remember watching MTV and there was three videos that constantly fucking played on MTV. And it was Soundgarden's Black Hole Sun, Green Day's Basket Case.
Tight.
And
come on, y'all, let's take a ride. Don't you say shit, just get inside. It's time to take your ass on another kind of trip. Cause you can't have to hop if you don't have to hip. Grab your gat with the extra clip and close your eyes and hit the switch. We're going to a place where everybody kicks.
I mean, obviously, so you kind of gave us a spiel why Coolio. Cisco, I saw you vibing down there. Coolio. What was it? Tell me the flavor. Give me the feeling.
When you hear the come along and ride on a fantastic voyage, it's the same thing, man. It's just like all of these other songs that just get your head bobbing, and it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what ended up happening afterwards. If you were there during that time, you immediately are transported to it. And yeah, man, Coolio's Fantastic Voyage is dope. It's tight, dude. I like that.
Was Coolio a West Coast guy? He was,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Was there a Coolio moment when you were growing up in New York?
Nah, he was never really like cool, really. But you know, he had his the crossovers. A lot of his stuff was like crossover success, and it was, you couldn't help but not kind of accept it. I kind of feel the same way, like to a lesser extent, obviously, with Coolio, but like I feel the same way sort of like about the Black Eyed Peas, where it's like, you know, they're from here and they started as like this underground sort of like hip hop group that didn't, you know, that kind of like they were B-boys and we would see them at clubs. They were like from the area that I grew up in. And then they just became like everything, dude. They were everywhere. They were, you know, the world's biggest stars. And, you know, you can't be mad at that. You just got to be like, yeah, man, I would do this exact same thing. You cannot be mad at someone who says, fuck it, I'm going to go mainstream and do the most with it. Coolio definitely did that.
All right. So I feel like I'll be really honest. I didn't have a lot to contribute to Coolio because I just didn't know that. But I feel like Nick and I are about to bond over the neck. Maybe. I could be wrong. Nick might be like, Alex, that's fucking whack what you added. But I went with something that kind of combined what I used to love, which was that like summer drive-through skate pop punk that has kind of grown up with me and morphed into what I consider to be the penultimate summer music, which is a band called Vacationer with Kenny from The Starting Line. And it's kind of, it's not yacht rock. It's not beach music. It just, when you fucking listen to it, it sounds like you're on vacation. there's something about it. So the song that I picked is the first track on the album Mindset. And it is the song Entrance by Vacationer. Absolutely love Vacationer. Not a lot of people listen to them, but it's just like it has all the energy of what I used to love in summer music, but is kind of chilled out with age. And when I listen to it now, I just feel like every time I listen to it, I feel like I'm at the beach. And I'm not even like a big beach guy, but I don't know. Nick, have you ever listened to Vacationer?
Yeah, and that does not, like, not overly, but I didn't know that they had that soundscape kind of.
Yeah,
I feel like some other things that I've heard didn't sound like that, and that is something I'm gonna for sure listen to.
He starts,
you're nailing it with what you're saying about the vibe. Like, it's, there's something about an energy when you, I guess maybe because we grew up listening to punk and stuff like that, you recognize that energy when other genres hit it, you know. Mm-hmm. And it is like a authenticity or whatever. But yeah, I mean, obviously Kenny growing up in The Starting Line and probably listening to punk brings that to his new soundscape, and there's just, yeah, there's something that speaks to you. It's definitely summery for sure.
Yeah, it's he's got three albums. One's called Stay, which is very like, that's your very kind of like traditional kind of indie summery thing. And then he's got Relief, which the only way I could describe it is like James Bond beach music. It's like music that they would play while James Bond is meeting the Bond girl in like Monte Carlo. It's very weird. And then that record, Mindset, is the one where I feel like he starts to kind of find it. He's like, okay, I'm this like electronic summery reverby thing. And I don't know, guys, I think we put together a pretty good summer playlist. What do we think?
For sure.
Yeah.
Any quick honorable mentions? We want to go around the horn and just say it. Steve will play it, and then we'll move to the outro. Nick, any honorable mentions?
My favorite thing in the last couple of months, and this just means I'm old because I just found out about Dua Lipa, but I love Dua Lipa. She's going to wind up being my number one artist of 2021, according to my Spotify thing. Her kind of new song called We're Good is summer.
I'm on an island, even when you're close.
Nice. Solid. Solid addition.
Oh, yeah.
It's on the playlist. Get it on the playlist. What about you, Cisco? Any honorable mentions?
Yeah, I got three that I'll mention real quickly. Cruisin' by D'Angelo. Whoa.
All right. Ooh. Okay.
Always okay. My rule is if you're going to cover a song that is a classic, you better do something different and amazing with it. And fucking D'Angelo crushed that. Number two is Lover Chanting by Little Dragon.
I love Little Dragon, dude.
Let me give you one little piece of advice. If you've never, even if you don't care about this song, if you've never seen the video, do yourself a favor and look that video up. It is amazing.
Oh.
And then my last one is my new favorite genre of music, which is basically combining a lot of two of my favorite old types of music, which is oldies and soul. And so there's this new little brand of music that's kind of popping here in LA called Soldies. And this one is one that I'm loving right now called I Got Love by Bobby Orosa.
Bro, you got to send me that.
Yep.
That's awesome.
There's a whole record label dedicated to this kind of shit, and it's called Penrose Records. They have a kind of like compilation album that I love called, it's just Penrose Records Volume 1. Check it out. But there's a couple of different bands. There's like The Sacred Angels and The Altons, and there's like a whole contingent of like LA kids that are just killing this like falsetto electric and acoustic guitar thing that is just I can't stop listening to it. It's my favorite.
I feel like Mesa Jr. might be one of those dudes. I'll have to look
that
up.
Maybe, I'll check it out.
Yeah. What about you, Steve? Anybody to throw into the mix?
Well, you guys know, I talked about these guys a while back, and you know I love Leon Bridges, but you know, I love Krungabin, and this is a thing they did early last year with Leon Bridges called Texas Sun.
Oh, yeah.
Oh man, you got to send me that too. What am I doing
so good
over here?
Alice, that is amazing. Great, incredible song.
Yeah. Is it a good song, Nick?
Oh yeah, yeah.
Love oh yeah. That. All right.
Buddy,
send it to me after.
Anything with Krungbin is fucking just put the
Listen,
album on.
If you got three out of the four dudes here co-signing that song, it's a
yeah.
good one.
All right. Yeah. Get it over.
Agree with
and,
that.
Get it over.
And just to keep with the Leon Bridges one, this is another one he did a while back with Dej Loaf called Liberated.
For the girls that don't need no makeup when they wake up. For the ones who rock and lace fronts, you know, I ain't gonna say nothing.
Wow.
I feel like all I can do is just add my little tiny piece of a very small pie to this amazing thing we're baking up here. So I'm just gonna go out, and all I sent with Steve was Anything by the motherfucking king of the surf guitar. Anything by Dick Dale and his Deltones. We'll be right back. summer evening. That was my shitty radio guy. Out to Dick Dale. Didn't work, didn't work, didn't work.
Okay, let's do that one more time. Let's do it one more time. Ready? Hold on one second. Hold on, hold on.
Coming at you live from hot Southern California. Nick, where can the people find you at home if they want to find you online?
Find me at Nick Bayside. Twitter, Instagram. I'm on them 24 hours a day. I have issues.
And sweating in the hot sun. Cisco, where can the people find you at home?
Find me on Twitter and Instagram, CiscoKid2D77.
Big Steve coming around in the ice cream truck. Where can the people find you at home?
You can find me on Twitter at Rex Manning and check me out on Letterboxd.
This has been the Black Series Rebels, and we will see you next time when Nick joins us for District 9. Later!
What's up, guys? I'm here at Pixar. I'm about to go in, start working on a collaboration project with Pixar. Just kidding, man. I don't play that soft little baby shit, man. That's Satan all day, that evil Satan stuff, heavy metal shit, man. I don't fuck around with little baby shit like that.